This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Before we get started with this episode of the Josh Cherry Podcast, we want to thank all of our sponsors. Blazer 88, Project K9 Hero, Lori's Dive-In, 601 Roofing King, Down Yonder Hat Co., Cottonfield Grill, Cashman's Pub, Better Than Basic Marketing, Middle Georgia Total Health, Nobles Dirt Works, Nobles Networking, Mischief Media, Yankee Paradise South, Web Space Today, and 22 Sierra Coffee. Now, let's get into the episode, y'all. What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning into the Josh Terry Podcast. With us today is not only one of our sponsors, but one of my dudes. He's been with us for a while now. I just like this guy so much. From the stuff he posts on social media, the way I see him doing business online, he's just a solid dude. He's been on the show a couple times now. He's just one of those guys, every time he comes on the show, he's got something positive to drop, but he's one of the dudes. Like, he's just a dude. I wish we could actually get together and have a beer. What's up, Bubba? You doing all right, man?
I brought the beer, man. I don't know if we can do, like, share virtual beers, but yeah. I brought some.
Cheers. I got a water, but you can drink all the Modelos you want on here, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to polish off the water. This is my last 33 ounces before I start drinking, so I made a commitment to make sure I drink a gallon of water before I start drinking beer.
Yeah.
So as soon as I finish this, I'm gonna start on the beer. So, yeah, man. Appreciate you having me on. Appreciate allowing me to be a sponsor, man.
Dude, we appreciate you.
Somebody actually just send me some money on Cash App.
Hell yeah! Real quick before we get started, tell them about your businesses real fast. If you want to tell them about Blue Collar Alliance too. Tell them all about what you do real fast before we get into it.
All right, cool. Yeah, so I own a storm restoration company here in South Mississippi. We're in South Louisiana. We just recently broke into South Texas as well. We're glorified roofers. Also have a Facebook group, Blue Collar Alliance. It is a free group. I'm in the process of starting a coaching group over on school.com. It will be called the Blue Collar Syndicate, but that will be launching that October 1st. I also have a roof coating company. It's a commercial roof coating company. We're going through some rebranding right now. to launch some more products, some more services to help more homeowners get the services they need from qualified contractors. So it's kind of who we are in a nutshell. We just try to make sure homeowners get treated right. Contractors do get a shit name. Door-to-door salesmen, like I said, we're glorified roofers. We do a lot of door-to-door sales. You know, they get a shit name, so we're trying to change the industry with that, especially here in South Mississippi.
Well, that's why I like you coming on the show. You actually take advantage of the spot of you being a sponsor. So any of the other sponsors we have on the show, one of the things I try to tell you guys to make you stand out is there's 100 people that do exactly what you do. If you'll come and you'll do things like this, it gives people a good reason why. Hey, I know this guy now. I've heard what he stands for. Even if we don't even talk about any of the things you actually do today, at least they know you. They know what you stand for. They know what the kind of person you are. They know you're a family man. They know all this stuff about you. It's like, yeah, I want to work with this guy. If I'm in the situation where I need my house worked on or whatever, at least I know this dude's a solid dude.
Yeah, personal branding, I think, is the way of the future for any business owner now. We see it on social media all the time, and that's one thing that I'm trying to really do. I used to be really big. I used to be really more in-depth on social media. Kind of slacked off, like I say, because I get so wrapped up in the day-to-day with the companies, because I am a big part of the company still, that I don't post as much on social media as I would like to. But I think moving forward, me and my wife was just talking about this. I need to put it just on my schedule. If it's on my schedule, to get done. So just putting a time slot on my schedule, 2 to 3 times a day to post on my social media platforms, just to be more personal. People know who I am as a person that don't know me, the new people that don't know me, you know, because we love the handout to help a lot of folks, whether it's not just with the services we offer. We like to sponsor, like donate a lot. We like to give back a lot. And a lot of people don't know that with us, you know. So that's one thing that me and my wife was talking about. You know, we just have to take time out of our day to make sure that we're putting enough content out there.
Yeah,
for the personal brand.
Well, I'll give you a tip. There's a lot of people that ask me all the time about this. So I'll kind of give you a couple pointers on it. Be probably a good way to start the show is like, if you'll pick one day out of your week, and if you, cause you being a businessman, you probably got a good, at least a roundabout schedule for your week anyway, where you know what you've got to do for a week. You pick one day at the beginning of your week and you take about an hour. And you go ahead and you make all your posts for that week. And you either go ahead and preset them to where they're going to post for you throughout the week. Or, fuck, do you a couple costume changes. Wear like a couple different shirt changes or whatever. Go ahead and make your videos for the week, what you've got to drop. And you literally can just go ahead and get it done. Then throughout the week, just drop it. Just be done with it. Like, everybody has to do it. If you're working in social media, like, of everybody that I work around, like, yeah, is my schedule probably the most laid back? Yeah, but I have to work my schedule around, like, our guests. Like, that's my main thing. But I also have a daughter that I have to work around her school schedule, her softball schedule.
That's right.
I have to now, with me trying to get more active with weight loss and everything else, I'm having to fit the gym and all that kind of shit in. Other things in my life, like, I'm having to work all everything else in. I usually take 2 days out of the week and I will take time to make all of the shit that I'm going to do for that whole week in those 2 days. And then I'm done. Like, you just eliminate all the headache from trying to fit it in. Cause most of the time, if I don't do it that way, Friday comes and then I'm like, oh man, I forgot I got this event tomorrow night. I haven't made no content for it. Shit. What am I going to do? I waited till the last minute and I screwed myself.
That's right. And you know, I forget sometimes that you can preset, schedule out your posts. I do that just for my mind. I like that. I tell you what really did it for me, man. It was like a big kick in the nuts was during COVID. I got pretty big on TikTok and I got that close to scraping 100,000 followers nuts. And then,
yeah,
they just banned my account, never gave me a reason. And like, it really turned me off to TikTok for the longest time. And I couldn't even get back on TikTok until I got a new phone. They put a ban on my phone. I think we may have spoke about that on one episode. But
yeah.
And that kind of really turned me off from posting like video content on TikTok. And I'm trying to get that back going. And I'm sucking. I'm failing at it miserably right now. But
I'll help you with it. I hope you blow it up.
And congrats on the weight loss, brother, man. That
Thank you, dude.
I'm about to start my weight loss journey back because I'm an extreme being. And if I don't set something extreme, I won't do it. I'll just be a lazy fat fuck that drinks every night. And so I reached out to a couple promoters that got, you know, I'm still connected with in the fight world, and I'm trying to get something lined up for March, April, maybe May next year. And I don't want to fight at heavyweight because I'm not a tall fellow. I don't want to fight at 205 because they're just heavyweights that hit, you know, and they're just a little bit faster. Yeah. I want to get back down to either cruiserweight or welterweight or middleweight. So that as soon as I give me a fight, you know, I'm going to do something extreme and get this weight off of me. So that's what's on the horizon right now. Horizon.
What do you weigh right now?
I think I'm like 285.
Okay, how tall are you?
5'10".
Okay, so I'm 5'10". I was 260 in April. When I weighed in yesterday, and I had an official doctor's visit today, my scale at the house yesterday said 213.6, but doctor's thing today said like 214.5 or some shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like right there. And my goal is 210, but I haven't been 200 pounds since I was in high school. And I'll be 37 September the 10th. So I've said, you know what? For my 37th birthday, I'm really going to push, and I'm going to see by the, like, I probably won't get to two, I probably won't be 200 pounds by September 10th, but by the end of September, there's a good chance I could get to it.
Oh, you can get there, bro.
Yeah, like I'm going to shoot for it. But what I've done nothing but cardio and eat right. Like I'm not lifting weights or anything yet. It's nothing but cardio. With you being that high, I would guarantee you it wouldn't take you long at all. Like you seem like you already work outside, so you're probably a lot of muscle anyway. If you were to do a 1500 calorie diet like I'm doing, and you were to do a lot of cardio, because you already sweat anyway, more than likely. Yeah, dude, I do too. I'll give you the diet. I'll give everybody the diet. Like, you ever watch 600 Pound Life?
Yeah.
All right, I love 600 Pound Life, right? They literally tell you what the diet is, like all the time. It's a 1200 count diet, but that's extreme. All right. And there's also a documentary that's on Netflix. It's called Fed Up. You can watch it and it'll help you too. But no fried foods, no bread, no pasta, which the bread's the hardest thing for me because I love bread. No bread, no pasta. You eat the things that your body's designed to eat, which is just grilled or baked of any type of meat you want. So that means you can still eat the shit out of steaks if you want to.
Stay
under 1500 calories a day, but steak, chicken, fish, you can eat vegetables out the ass, fruits, because fruits have sugar in it, make sure you do it before 5 o'clock at night. And then with your sugar intake, like if it's a candy bar or a soda, that's where it kills you. Do less than 10 grams of sugar a day. And that's where a lot of people die. Now, like, your sugars are what you can only process 10 grams of sugar a day.
Wow.
The second you get past 10 grams of sugar, it automatically turns to fat. If you look how much is in a soda, like one soda is enough for like 3 days. So if you'll do less than 10 grams of sugar a day, dude, that's why I said, if you'll quit drinking sodas, you'll lose 10 pounds in a week. And it's the truth.
Yes,
it's stupid how much weight you'll lose.
I know. So my brother, at one point, whenever I was actively fighting, he was 390 pounds, and I literally pulled like 80 pounds off of him by him not drinking Dr. Pepper and him just drinking water. I'm not a soda pop drinker. I drink energy drinks, and it's not even like sugar It's like the sugar-free energy drinks, the Reigns, the Bangs, things like that. But I drink like two or three of them a day, and I'm sure that's not good. It's that, water, and beer. That's what I drink.
Well, the Celsius is a good one to switch to. They don't, and I think there's another one.
Oh, yeah, I love those.
They're good. There's no sugar in those.
Yep.
There's another one you can do, too.
The Reigns, yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, those aren't too bad for you then.
Yeah. They, I had the form, because my last fight, I went from 280 to 215 in 2.5 months. Was it the healthiest way? Hell no, but.
How much were you?
I went from 280 to 215 in 2.5 months.
What were you doing, like fasting, or what were you
doing?
Bro,
I did straight intermittent fasting.
Ooh, that shit scares me.
Yeah, keto. I ate a keto-based diet. And I did 2 hours of cardio before work, 2 hours of boxing / cardio after work. And I only dieted down to like 238 or somewhere around there. And I kept from 238 to 215 a quarter weight.
Okay.
The week of the fight. Now, that wasn't the best way to do it either. But, you know, I did get the diet down to about 240 somewhere. I did it 2.5 months. I know the formula to do it, but like I said, man, if I don't set some extreme goal that I hate, like if I don't get this done by this day, I'm going to look like a complete jackass.
Yeah.
Then I'll just be lazy. I'll procrastinate.
Well, I'm an extremist anyway. So like I have to kind of set goals for myself, but this is the first time I didn't set a goal for myself. Like I did want to get, I really wanted to get to 210, but it wasn't that this time for me. It was, I wanted to get healthy. I want to, Luke Combs did a podcast with Joe Rogan last year and he said something on it and it has stuck with me. Like I've always been the heavy kid, no matter what I've ever done in life, I've always been the fat kid, right? Or the plus whatever. And he said something and it about broke my heart because he even kind of cries a little bit when he says it, but he's like, man, I've got all these number ones. I've got all this stuff or whatever. Like I'm top selling artists, all this kind of shit. I've got everything in the world I could want. He said, but if I don't get my weight under control before I die, I'm going to feel like a failure.
Yeah.
And that hit me so hard when he said it. And then I went through some stuff at the beginning of the summer and I got to a point where I was like, you know what? There's a lot of shit in this world I can't control. I can't control other people's actions. I can't control ups and downs of other things, but I can control myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start by controlling my weight. And I've never been able to be the skinny guy. I've never been able to be the in shape guy, but I need an outlet. I need something to make me focus. So instead of saying, hey, I just want to be 210. How about I want to be healthy?
That's right.
How about I just, for the first time, I want to be the person that my friends look at and be like, damn, Josh is looking better than us these days.
That's right.
I guess that's what I want. I want to be able to say, I got it figured out this time. Because my weight has fluctuated the majority of my life.
Yes, same.
And I want to get to a point to where it's like, you know what? Like today, I had to go to the doctor today and weigh in, right? First time in a long time that they didn't have to check my blood pressure twice. And that might be something that most people are just like, they never have to check my blood pressure twice. Well, guess what? They always have to check my shit twice.
Hey, same.
And you know what? They didn't today.
Oh, hell yeah, bro.
And it's like, yes. You know what? That's on for me. That's like, you know what? That gives me what I feel like. That's another couple years to my life. If I'm going that way now, right. It's like, that's what I want. I want longevity.
Yeah, bro. Same. Like, I think what natural as humans we do is I rode this high so long when I was fighting. I dieted. I just, I don't know if I got burnt out or eat the same shit every day or what it was, or I just felt like I didn't deserve to be. I don't know what it was, but then I let myself get back and gain the weight, and then I'd get it down. Then I'd gain it back, and I'd get it down, and I'd get it back. And then I'd start putting my health and fitness and my nutrition on the back burner.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten to a place where I wake up and I just look at myself. I'm like, why the fuck did I let myself get back in this position? And it really depressed me, bro. Like, but it's all on me. I'm a person of ownership. It's 100% my fault that I don't have I haven't been disciplined enough to control what I put in my mouth, take my ass to the gym. When I'd wake up to do it, I would say, I'd make an excuse. I wanted to be lazy at one point. So, you know, it's depressing that my mind.
It is.
When it comes to the health and fitness, it's so on the back burner versus my business where I'm balls to the wall with it every day. And I use that as a crutch to not take my ass to the gym.
Well, I think for guys like me and you, because I had to have this conversation with myself. This is the first time that I've worked on losing weight that I'm not in a gym. Okay. This is the first time I'm not lifting weights. This is where I have really took a long, hard look at myself and been like, you know what? I'm not trying to win a weightlifting competition.
Yep.
I'm not trying to have the biggest arms. I'm not trying to flex on bitches. I don't really care about that. I'm, like I said, I'm doing this for health and longevity. I started thinking about it, and I started looking at like these old men that you see that are 70, 80, 90 years old that are still out walking the track and everything. They got into a routine at some point in time to where they go and they walk the track 4 days a week, something like that, for an hour or two at a time. Now, if they started that 20, 30 years ago or whatever, and they just started making time a couple times a week, it just became part of their process to where they got down to a happy weight to probably they eat what they want to. They probably eat 5,000-6,000 calories a day if they want to some weeks, you know, but they've got so healthy and so active that they just really just continually stay active. They never have a month where they don't do anything, because this is what happens. If you are steady in the gym, eventually you're going to hit a wall, or you're going to get hurt, or you're going to do something where you just don't want to do it no more, or you're going to have to take a break. But our bodies are designed to where we can walk, and we can walk all day, every day. So if all you're trying to do is to get healthy, walking's not that bad for you. I mean, it's not bad for you at all if that's what your exercise is. If it's where you're just going, like me, I'm doing two times a day now, but I'm doing 3 miles two times a day.
Gotcha.
But I'm also trying to get to a certain point. Now, once I get to that certain point, I'm probably going to back off to where it's only like four times a day and only going to do it like maybe 3 to 4 times a week. Like right now I'm probably overdoing it because I'm trying to get to my happy place.
That's right.
Because I'm not going to 160. I'm not going to 180. If I hit 200, I'm going to look sickly probably anyway, the way that I'm built. I'm not trying to go much more than under 200. But once I get there, it's like, damn, okay, well, I can have 2 cheat meals a week now as long as I'm staying active. I've just gone unactive for so long, it's built up. Like, it's built up to where I can't enjoy myself. So, like, if you just stay active once you get to your happy place, you don't have to kill yourself all the time. You don't have to be trying to bench press the world. You just got to be active.
That's right. Once you get there, man, it's easy to maintain. Getting there. The climb is always the hardest. When you get up there to the top, man, it's pretty, you know, it's easy to stay there. As long as you do what you're supposed to do to stay there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
And who's really going to lose that much weight? And, like, I've lost weight before, and I've maintained it. But then you get complacent because the workouts were so hard. Yeah. And that's why it's like you don't want to go back in there. You're like, why do I really want to do this? I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I just want to get the weight down about 2/3. Like, I know anything under 225, I look like either a neuritic cancer patient or a crackhead. I look terrible under 225. So 225 is my happy place. I know that's when I look my best, or I feel like I look my best around the 225, 230 area. So Getting back there, it's going to be a struggle to begin with because my wife cooks the best foods.
So, I'm glad I ain't got nobody living with me right now, because that would be an issue for me. I'm drinking nothing but Atkins shakes and all that kind of good shit. Well, your buddy made it.
Hey, bud, what's happening?
What's going on, Chad?
Oh, man, it's all good, guys. How y'all doing, man?
Doing all right, man. Well, why don't you introduce Chad to us? Tell us about Chad.
So me and Chad met a few years back in the refineries working. Chad recently started his own podcast, wanted to venture out, get more people involved, the blue-collar community involved in getting outside, working less, you know, spending more time with their family, kind of the same reason why I started the Blue Collar Alliance. And, Chad, I'm going to let you go ahead and take over from there.
Yeah, 10-4, man. Chad Hillstrom, you know, blue collar worker, trying to find a way where there's no way, man. You know, the Lord kind of put it on my heart to start a podcast 2 years ago. And I was hesitant because by no way am I qualified or, you know, good at it or anything. And so I kind of put it off and finally just started about 14 weeks ago, you know, because I'm about to up to podcast number 15 and just talking to people. Love hearing.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
People's stories and interacting with people. People told me I have a really weird gift to talk to people and make them feel really, really interesting. And I have some amazing conversations with people. Bubba knows we were out there at the damn plant over there walking around exchangers in the middle of the night, bumping in equipment. I'm just hearing him talk about bare knuckle boxing and starting a business and all kind of stuff. And just talking with people, man, just trying to see what life's about and able to hear others. So can y'all see and hear me all right?
Yeah, we can. We good, dude.
Cool.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Y'all already recording, huh?
Oh, yeah. We already did about 30 minutes, boss.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I thought it was for 7:30. I didn't know it was at 6:30.
Nah, you good, dude. It's all right. We started at 7:30 till 8:30 is what I had blocked off for tonight.
Oh, shoot. Okay, man. I'm sorry. I cut you guys short.
Oh, shit. You good?
I told you Eastern time. I ain't know what time zone you're in, Chad. So I gave you the Eastern time zone because I believe Josh is in Eastern time zone.
I'm in Eastern.
Where you at up there? Where you at up there, Josh?
I'm out of Macon, Georgia, right below it.
Yeah, 10-4. It's nice to meet you, by the way, man.
You too, Bubba. Where are you from?
Born and bred in Louisiana and ain't been able to make it out. I complained for a long time and said I was getting out this hellhole and I'm still here just raising hell. You know what I mean?
You sound like one of my buddies. His name's Lance DeBrock. He's from around that way. He's an old musician from over that way that we mess with. I should have known the second you opened your mouth, he's one of them Louisiana boys.
That old coon ass just falls out of there, don't it?
It does. Hell, if I close my eyes, you sound just like that son of a bitch.
Hey, you can almost smell the cooking when I'm talking, huh?
Shit, yeah, you ain't lying. Y'all just alike.
Yeah.
But no, dude, go ahead, Bubba.
So he said something about cooking. I tell you something funny. So I got one of my new sales reps. We were out doing some door knock. We had some fresh hail in a little city north of us. And we went up to this house, and we get about halfway up the driveway, and I said, this is going to be an Indian person's house. And he said, how do you know? I said, I smell the curry cooking before we get there. And they had that stuff. Man, the dude invited us in. He said, man, you hit the nail on the head. I said, man, curry is so strong. I used to work in the plants. I used to have this Indian welder, and he would bring me chicken curry. And what's that bread that they make?
Pita bread or fat bread or whatever it is.
Yeah. Whatever that bread is that they eat with it. He used to bring it to me every day, and I would have to give it away or throw it away because I would never eat the shit.
Yeah. I think they call it delicious.
No, they do not. They do not. I hate the smell of that shit. Only thing I'll give them credit for, they somehow have figured out a way to get their women to feed it to them. But besides that shit, I can't do it. The smell of that shit is ridiculously horrible. Anytime I've ever walked into a damn gas station and I've smelled it, I get out of there as quick as I damn can.
No doubt, bro. That stuff is. And then if you ever ate it, because I tasted it one time, the shit stayed. And no matter how much I brushed my teeth and used some Listerine, the shit stayed on my breath for like 3 days.
Well, it's gritty.
It's so terrible, man. I got a cousin that loves it. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I know a lot of people, and it's usually white bitches. They usually like it for some reason. I'm not real sure why they like it, but damn it, they love. I think they're doing us. They think they're being woke or some shit by liking it, I reckon. But they make it with pumpkin spice. I don't know what it is, but it is the worst. So what kind of work did y'all? How did y'all meet? What plant or what kind of work were y'all doing when y'all met?
I was a quality control inspector, and Chad was my QA, which was my quality assurance. So the company I worked for did the work. I inspected the work, and Chad would inspect my work, make sure I wasn't cheating just for the company I was working for. So we met at the plant, I believe it was Marathon, right, Chad?
Marathon 2020, February, right whenever COVID broke out.
That's right. Right there. I was with StarCon.
Yeah, I couldn't find any toilet paper, man. So I kept going to them Port-A-John and stealing rolls of toilet paper out of there.
Yeah. when that kicked off and people started like freaking out about the toilet paper, I really remember I looked at my buddy Oli, which was my QC manager, and I said, man, is this COVID stuff? Does it give you like the dribbling shits or something? I said, why is everybody buying toilet paper up? I said, man, I don't know. Come to find out, they thought we were going to run out just because I think it was being imported from China or something or whatever the reason was. And I was like, that's just wild to me.
Are y'all having another outbreak of COVID where y'all are at right now? Because like our whole school system's got it.
Yes. Yes, we have.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I try not to pay too much attention to all that hype anymore because after they sent us home with the whole thing, like Bubba was saying, it was like a toilet paper shortage. And I realized I had a shower on the side of my toilet just in case anything happened. So I realized, like, you know, having toilet paper was kind of a luxury, you know what I mean? Necessity. So I bought red beans and rice and beer just in case because they needed necessities, you know? But, about 3 months into the whole COVID thing or a month in or whatever, I was just like, wait a minute. People aren't dying in the streets. I don't see any bodies all over these news and all that stuff. So, I mean, I was just like,
So yeah, they're saying we're having another outbreak around Mississippi. Everybody's testing positive for it now. We know it's the election year. You got to do something.
Yeah. Right. My daughter has it right now. Her and about six of her friends in their gifted class, they got it, and they got, I guess, sent home from school on Tuesday and can't go back till Monday.
Wow.
What's the effects of it now, Josh?
My daughter's just bitching. To be honest with you, she's 13 and her throat's just sore a little bit. That's why I was wondering like what the effects were over there. She just said she has a headache and her throat sore. That's where I was kind of figuring what the reason why I was asking is I was trying to figure out what other places are classifying as COVID now, because I figured with it being an election year, some reason they were going to bring something back up with that shit anyway. but my daughter doesn't have COVID. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's like a summer cold is what they used to call it when I was a kid, when you had a scratchy throat, when the temperature starts to change or whatever. It's just when the damn weather starts to change.
That's it. And that's what we have here. Actually, my stepdaughter has it right now. Took her, thought maybe it was strep. Tested negative for that. She ran a little bit of a fever, some low-grade fever, 100, 101. That's kind of high, I guess. And then, but I remember after Hurricane, so during COVID 2020, I got COVID, but mine was like more like a sinus infection.
Yeah.
That was it. Well, after Hurricane Ian, which was at the end of 2022, when I went to Florida to work Hurricane Ian, I got type A flu. And everything that they were describing for COVID symptoms were, like in 2020, that's what flu A was for me. Like, I just had the worst, like the worst cough, my lungs hurt, the worst fever, and then – which only lasted 24 hours, and now we got COVID back, and I don't know. It's all for guys and me.
Yeah, it's all stupid. I'm just ready for this election season to get over. This is fixing to be the worst next 3 or 4 months ever.
Terrible.
It's going to be stupid. It's going to be so stupid on both sides. I about don't even want to deal with it. I wish I could just fast forward to Christmas.
Yeah. Fast forward, straight up to like middle of November, that way you got to deal with the shit. Because it's such a clown show now. Like, although I do feel like Trump is going to be the best option. I feel like there's better options in our country than Trump and Kamala. And I love Trump as a president. I think it's going to be great for our economy, being a business owner. But when you spread it all out, there's better people out there that would be more suited to be president than the two that we have running against each other.
Well, the funny thing about it is, man, it's y'all ever seen that movie Idiocracy with Terry Crews?
Oh my God, and it's coming true.
Yeah, and like the whole country is stupided down and nobody can figure out anything. Trash is all in the streets. You know, you got people just hanging around in the streets addicted to whatever it was on the show. They're over there. They're scared to drink water or feed the plants water. And, you know, you got all of this insanity going on. It's just like we are stuck in an episode of Idiocracy. You know, it's just, you know, and it's just it really feels that way that they try to keep people so dumbed down and they try to feed everybody all that craziness. And everybody just eats it up like Kamala's. What was it? Her little thing with Megan Thee Stallion out there twerking in front of everything. And I'm like, is this what politics has devolved to now? It's just like some kind of spectacle.
That's what it is.
It is a spectacle now.
Yeah, well, it is.
Well, it's always been anyway a popularity contest. I don't care what anybody says. It's always been that way. But now, especially in this day and age, it is a popularity contest. You wouldn't, and I do think Trump is the better pick. Do not get me wrong. I'm not the biggest Trump guy, but he is the better pick out of the two. I think he is a businessman. I think it is a whole lot better for him to be president than Kamala. But do you think Reagan, or do you think anybody else would have went on Theo Von's podcast? Like, and I'm not knocking Theo Von. I love Theo Von personally.
Absolutely.
I love everything that he does. But there ain't George Bush Senior, you know, nobody like that's going on Theo Von's podcast. I get why he's doing it.
Yeah.
But
he's
doing that.
He's trying to capture the black vote. He's trying to capture the young vote. And like I seen him go on Theo Von, and then he went on what's that other little fella's name? But you know, he's trying to capture those votes. And you know, take whatever they say about Trump, like whenever he actually got shot and he threw his hand up over there, that was the most patriotic thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'd have to say, you know, every world leader at that point said, oh, damn, what happened here? You know,
y'all gonna hate me. I think it was staged.
Yeah, my buddy said the same thing.
I hate me for thinking it because this is what a cynical bastard I am.
Yeah.
There's no way that guy. Okay. I got a buddy. You'll have to look him up. He's super famous. He's like what Chris Kyle is to us. This is what this dude is in Canada. His name's Dallas Alexander. He ended up going on Alex Jones's podcast. He ended up on Fox News, a couple other things. He's in Nashville with us all the time. He's starting to do music and all this other stuff. His name's Dallas Alexander. Everybody look him up that's listening to this. But he is a famous sniper in Canada, special ops, all this shit. He's a badass. But anyway, he said, and it makes perfect sense, that there's absolutely no way in hell that a guy who has no military training, no nothing, gets that close with a sniper rifle to just being in that vicinity as he was. But then, two, that guy does not miss by that percentage. If you're going to miss, you're going to miss. You're going to super miss. You miss to the point where it just takes that much of your ear off. What is it, miss big or hit big or whatever it is?
Aim small, miss. No.
Yeah, like you
aim
don't.
Aim small, miss small.
And the fact that Trump's head is actually turned in that direction at that time. Come on now. Like, I am like, that won the election. Because, like, that is the most patriotic thing you will ever see if it really happened. And I hope it, like, half of me hopes that it didn't happen, because that means that we're that far gone. But also I hope that it didn't happen, because then you're like, he faked it, right? Like, either way, it's catch 22. But, like, it's sad either way. But it's like, damn, I feel like it was so staged. I really do.
So I was under the impression this dude did this with a pistol. Was it a sniper rifle?
Sniper rifle.
AR-15.
Yeah.
I thought it was a damn, man. I thought I seen where it was a .22 pistol.
No.
That's what made me feel like it was staged. Because I'm like, man, if a motherfucker hit a dude at 150 yards with a .22 pistol, you a dead-eyed dick shooting motherfucker. I'm a big gun guy. Yeah.
Have you seen the dude?
Yes.
Yeah, he was 18-year-old.
Like, he just crawled out of his mama's basement.
Yeah, he was a fucking weirdo. He was that dude was nothing more than a patsy. That dude, he's probably not even dead.
I talked to my buddy or whatever. He said that he had a vision a couple of years ago that Trump was going to win the first time, and he was going to win the second time, and then Trump was going to get shot, and that he was going to figure out, because of all that stuff with him getting shot, he was actually going to qualify for a third term. But he said after he didn't win the re-election, he's like, oh, my vision must be wrong. And then after I told him about, you know, Trump getting shot, he was just like, he said, I knew it. He said, I knew he was going to get shot, you know. But and I said, yeah, but the dude died. And he says, the sniper never lives. In JFK, in Lee Harvey Oswald, the sniper never lives. That way the sniper can never tell his story, you know?
Yeah, you don't ever let the patsy live.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and here's another thing. This is, I mean, you obviously are going to take the guy out, but the fact that that guy, it's a flat fucking roof. There's people
everywhere. The Secret Service should have been on that roof.
Yeah. And that, there's no way. That's what I'm saying. It's either this nobody gave that much of a shit, or this is such a conspiracy that it just goes so high that you're like, oh, we're definitely screwed.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad.
I'll admit to you, that guy was not that technically trained
to make
maneuvers like that by himself, to get with 130 feet of, you know, somebody that's the leading Republican, you know, person coming for the presidency. There's no way.
No. And I don't know if y'all have ever, there's a guy, his first name's Mike. I can't remember his last name, but he worked for the CIA forever. And he's came out with a couple books. He's been on a couple big podcasts like Rogan and everything. But he talks about how you would overthrow the United States government if you are another country, right? And it's a checklist of like 1,000 things that would have to happen. this is on the fucking checklist. Like, this is one of those things that would be on the checklist to get there. Like, you would have to make it look like an assassination attempt on a current president or presidential candidate to, like, cause division to where, like, you don't know what to believe. Like, it's so stupid because even people like me that I don't really care. I'm an independent. I don't believe in big government. I believe that it's – I don't believe red or blue. I think that you're really supposed to vote for – you're supposed to really care about the people more in your community that are running for office than president. You're supposed to vote for the people around you that are actually going to do something for you than somebody in Washington that really does not give two shits about you. You're supposed to vote on a state level and care about that more than you care about your president. And, like, there's just so much stupid shit that's causing division. And this guy's checklist, he's putting it out there for us. I really think it's all just a setup to get end up China owning us one day. And it's just bullshit after bullshit after bullshit. I think there's some group of rich ass individuals somewhere and they're all just laughing at us. They're like, oh, look at them again. Look at them. They're fussing and arguing again. We got them.
Yeah. They say, look at the red and the black ants in the glass jar. Let me shake them up a little bit. Let me see if I can get them to fight.
Yeah,
And I really believe that both political parties are equally corrupt.
Absolutely.
And
they are.
My only hope that is by Trump becoming president, he's got enough money that he can't be bought. You know what I mean? And it, you know, because all of the legislation and all the stuff out there, those people don't make that much money from the coming of office and make $150,000 a year. When they walk out of office, they're worth $20 million, $30 million, $50 million. There's no way.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Trump to me, once again, he's the better of the options. I've always had this weird feeling about him. Like, he's just, it's even like I was trying to describe this to somebody the other day. This is where he really lost me during his first term. I don't like George Floyd. I ain't got no sympathy towards him. If he'd have shut the fuck up and did what he was supposed to do, he'd be alive. Like, plain and simple. If you do what a cop says, I've been in trouble with the law. I've been arrested before. I did what they said. There's been no issue. I got buddies. No, it's because I listen. When somebody's got a badge on and they tell you what to do, guess what? You do what they say, and then you let, when you get to the station, you let the police, you let everybody else sort it out. You get a lawyer, you let everybody else sort it out. That's usually how shit gets fixed if there's a mistake. All right. Yeah. I know that everybody's going to say that that's racist. But I'm sorry, I don't know what it's like to be a black man or another race. I know what it's like to be me. I don't know what it's like to be anybody else. I'm very sorry if that hurts somebody's feelings. But during all that stuff with George Floyd, I think that Trump really fucked us all and put us all in a bad place because he's already going through COVID. I think that if he would have been sympathetic but not apologetic, instead he just riled people up. And it's like, dude, that's not what you're supposed to do. Like, you know, let's try to calm people down. You know, if you are the president, politics was not set up to be right or left. It was supposed to be set up for us to meet in the middle and compromise on shit. Like, that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to meet in the damn middle. You're not letting us meet in the middle. You're causing division. And that's where I think he lost everybody. If he would have just shut up and he would have tried to bring everybody together instead of causing division, I think he would have won the next term. But instead, he made it hard for everybody. And I think now that's why you have all these people still coming out against him. Because God help us all if he wins. I want everybody to know it's going to be hell. And it's not going to be hell for white folks. It's going to be hell for hardworking ass people. That's what it's going to be. For anybody that is blue collar, anybody like that, it's going to be hell for them. It's going to be hell for rich people too.
Yeah, it definitely got polarized there for a while, you know, and with 2016 and then definitely 2020, like, he polarized, like, both parties, you know, and like you were saying, like, he picked one side and he ran with it.
Yeah.
And I think he's maybe he learned his lesson maybe this time, because it seems like he's preaching a better unification message and he's not trying to polarize one side. And that's the only way, because like you said, a good leader should unite both sides and try to bring unification to everybody and bring everybody together. And hopefully that can happen, you know?
Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. We need another Bill Clinton. Like we, I, as stupid as it sounds.
I was too young.
I'm 37. Like how old?
Yeah, we're same age. So y'all.
Look back. Bill Clinton was too busy worried about women that nobody remembers. Nobody remembers anything about Bill Clinton.
Hey, he was smoking them cigars. Huh?
That's it, dude. Like we need somebody that's just gonna be like, you know what?
You know, I don't remember that much about it because I wasn't that old enough. But when I look back, they said that his economy, and I don't know if it was something that was a Reagan fallout or whatever, that, but they said the national deficit actually started to reset back towards zero whenever Billy Clinton was in office. Mm-hmm. Now, I will tell you, when I went down to Mexico, I went down to San Andreas. There's a cigar factory down there, and we got allowed in. But we weren't allowed to take any picture. And Billy Clinton actually visited a cigar company down there. And they have what was called the Billy Clinton cigar over there. And they have a big old picture of it. And it's a big old cigar. And it's got a sack right on the back of that cigar over there. And they call that the Billy Clinton. I said, that's what it's for.
I bet that costs a little more.
I bet it does.
Well, boys, I think that's how we'll end it, on a sack of cigars of Billy Clinton's. But I tell you what, well, let's get together and do this again when Chad, we can have you the whole time next time. I guess a little bit of conflict air on that.
Yeah,
but
just shoot me a proper time on everything, man. I'd love to join you on here, and I apologize for shortchanging y'all for me, man. You know,
it happens. I hate to cut it short, but like I said, my daughter, she's got COVID, and I got to take her. She's texting me now, blowing up my phone, wanting to know her damn medicine is. We'll do another one. Just let me know in a week or two whenever y'all both got time, and we'll do another one.
Sounds good.
Hey, real quick before we get off here, Bubba, drop your social media stuff again, and Chad, drop the name of your podcast so they can go check it out.
Yeah, so you can do hashtag 601 Roofing King on any social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and it'll pull up my content, pull up my pages. Hashtag 601 Roofing King.
All right, Chad.
Yeah, and my podcast is called A Higher Calling, Searching for Purpose Podcast. You could look it up on YouTube, @ Evolution of Man 985. And you should be able to find my channel, man. Appreciate the time, Josh.
Anytime, Bubba. We'll have you back when we got more time. Hell, we'll do a long one next time.
Sounds good.
All right, folks. Well, thank y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. Check out both of my dudes right here. And check out all of our episodes. Thank you to each and every one of our sponsors, 601 Roofing King especially. Thank you for being on here, Bubba. And, hey, we love you guys. We'll see y'all next time. Thank y'all.
All right, y'all. Take care. Thank y'all.
Later, guys.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.